Morning, we have a treat. Chris and Leah Thompson are with us, and they're missionaries to Ecuador. And I like Ecuador because I live there. So anyway, they are here, and they're going to present what's going on, present the work. I think, how far are you on, Chris? Where are you guys at on support? And you've only been out for a few weeks. Amen. So they are getting the support generated very quickly. Chris is Adam Thompson's son up in Capital City in Austin, and y'all may be familiar with that name. And so, like I said, they're going to Ecuador, and I think we're gonna do the video first. You wanna do the video first? All right, we'll do the video first. So y'all guys get to watch a movie, and so we'll do that first, and then I'll have Chris come on up, and he's gonna talk to us about Ecuador and preach to us a little bit. So let's do the movie first, and I'm in charge of that. So.
A beauty surrounds us, living right on the center of the light, but darkness prevails. Spiritual darkness. Established by centuries of false religious practices and customs. A small country influenced by the drug trafficking in Colombia. Socialism of Venezuela. And the Incan culture of Peru. Ecuador. A place of amazing beauty. Four regions. The coast, where many bananas and seafood are harvested. The Sierra, home to 48 volcanoes and a weather called the eternal springtime. The Amazon, home of the infamous Guarani natives. And Galapagos, an island discovered by Charles Darwin. Ecuador was made famous by five young missionaries who gave their lives for the sake of the gospel. Despite the impact of their ministry and death, it remains a place where most will live and die with absolutely no knowledge of a God who loves them. It is a land of religious confusion, a place where most will live without any purpose and die without any hope. This is Ecuador, a country with 24 spoken languages and over 16 million souls.
We are Christopher and Leah Thompson, and God has called us to the country of Ecuador. I was born in Argentina and had the privilege of growing up in Mexico as a missionary's kid. My dad had us involved in everything, from Saturday soul winning to children's ministries and many other things. We were involved with the teen activities, and we got very familiar with Latin culture. Not only was I mentored in Mexico, but my dad's leadership continued in my life as we planted a Spanish church right here in Austin. Lee and I both attended Bible college together at Capital City Baptist, and we have the opportunity to work together in junior church, in Spanish church, Tuesday night kids class, a bus route. We're excited about working together again on the mission field in Ecuador.
Growing up as an evangelist, across America, Canada, and in South Africa. In 2017, I had the opportunity to go on a missions trip with my college and Chris to the country of Ecuador. It was there that God burdened my heart and gave me a desire to reach Ecuador and the Latino people for Christ. I'm excited that we get to return to Ecuador to reach the people there with the gospel.
God has called us to go to a Latin country, a place that I'm already familiar with, a place that they already speak Spanish, a place that's very similar to Mexico in culture. In 2019, God opened the door for me to be able to work with the missionary Diego Carrascosa for the new church plant in the city of Ibarra. Being fluent in the language, I was able to immediately help with many ministries, including studies, and we watched as God worked and changed lives of new believers. Ecuador is a very open country. It's a country that is new to the gospel. There are not many Baptist churches that have been there yet. There are not any Bible colleges or many new ministries. It's a very new and open field. And as we knocked the doors and passed out tracts in the streets, the name Baptist had never even been heard of. And most of all, the true gospel of Jesus Christ had never been heard of. But they were open and seeking for truth. One of those people that we ran across on the street was a guy named Dennis. He was a Venezuelan refugee who came with his family in search of a new life. We told him about the Lord, and he had heard a little bit about Jesus back in Venezuela. He asked us if we could come to his house, even though it was an hour away from the city we were planting a church. God opened the door for us to be able to go to that house, and we started a Bible study every week with him. That Bible study with Dennis and his family turned into a small mission with several more families. And just like Dennis, there are many more families we have met, and we're crossing the streets, knocking doors, and because of big events, we're able to meet more people whose lives were changed because of the gospel. Colombians, Venezuelans, and obviously many Ecuadorians in search of help, in search of a new hope. And we were able to give them that through the gospel. We're second-generation missionaries who are excited to get back to the mission field. And that's why we ask that you would take part in helping us get the gospel to Ecuador.
Was the end of the video, wasn't it? Okay. I hope so. That was good. That was good. As y'all heard, Brother Chris is, he's born in Argentina. He's been on the field for basically his whole life, just about. So this is nothing new to him, but this is Brother Chris Thompson. There you go, Chris.
Okay. Thank you very much. I was telling my wife that next time we should have popcorn to hand out before the video. It's good to be here. I'm Chris. This is my wife, Leah, and we're missionaries going to Ecuador and excited about going there. I grew up in a Latin country. I was born. I got dual citizenship, so I grew up speaking English y español a la misma vez, hablándolo como si fuera idioma nativo, speaking it like in my native language. And we are just starting deputation. We got married September, been married a little over 4 months now, and hitting the road. Lord's been good to us. We're about 30% at the moment. And our goal is to go back to this mission, work with this missionary, Diego Carrascosa. My dad was a missionary in Mexico and led a couple to the Lord named Margarito and Marina. And Margarito and Marina, they went back to their hometown of Chiapas and led their two nephews to the Lord. And both those nephews got saved, went to Bible college, and at Bible college, they were called to go to Ecuador as missionaries, have been there almost 10 years, and that's who we'll be working with, grandsons of my dad in the faith. And we see missions works and the Lord working in their lives. We're going to go work with them for a little bit in Ibarra. Ibarra is about 3 hours south of Colombia, 3 hours north of Quito, the capital. And after about a year or so, our plan is to go to most likely the coast. There's a city there I'm praying about called Manta. There's another city called La Libertad, possibly praying about. And there's a third city that's in the mountains I'm praying about called Cuenca in the south. So those are the three main cities I'm praying about. Lord may take me somewhere totally different. But a very open country, very needy country. And I know there's some independent Baptist missionaries there, but not a lot. And it's a very open country, though. And right now, it's not a country that is fully socialistic or anything of that sort, so it's open. And it's easy to get into. Immigration is some of the easiest to get into. I've been to almost 15-plus countries, And Ecuador is probably the easiest country to just walk in. You show them your passport and you get in. And so it's very easy access, easy to stay there. And so I'm praying God sends more missionaries to Ecuador because it is an open place to go. There are some strange customs, though. One of the things that is strange there that we wouldn't do here, there's a drink called chicha. And my wife got to try it. I didn't try it. You know what chicha is? I don't know if you remember it in Ecuador. It's more common in the jungle region. And but they do serve it almost everywhere in the jungle region, even in the bigger cities. They'll serve it. It's not just a village thing. They actually serve chicha in Quito even, in some of the bigger cities. But what chicha is, the older ladies, they'll gather around together. And I don't know if you know what yucca root is, but yucca root, they'll take the yucca. It's like a potato, vegetable, similar-ish. But they'll take it and they'll chew it. And then they'll spit that yucca into a bowl till it fills up, or a pitcher fills up with liquid, their saliva liquid. And then they'll let it sit and ferment, and then they'll serve it. And if they're feeling like fellowshipping community, they'll pass that bowl around, and everybody not only gets to share from the same bowl, but they get to share what everybody else spit out into that bowl. So it's an interesting experience. I passed on that experience. My wife did not. In fact, my wife was so excited about trying it, she asked them to put it in a Coke bottle just so she could take a sip of it. So you can ask her later what she thought of it, if she liked it or not. I personally am not, I'm an adventurous type, but not that adventurous. That's a little too much for me. But there's some strange stuff there. I don't know if you guys know what guinea pigs are. I mean, I had guinea pig pets. They eat guinea pigs there. That's food for them. You can walk down the street and you can see roasters through the guinea pigs, like they do with a pig. And some of them have their mouths open. The poor little things look like they were screaming as they were roasted. And so if you're a guinea pig lover, you might want to watch your eyes in Ecuador. But they eat guinea pigs and just different customs. But I love Ecuador. I love the Ecuadorian people. And I'm excited about reaching them with the gospel. I'm excited. I'm glad the Lord gave me the opportunity to be there a year and work with them and to get to know the culture. And it is different from Mexico. Especially some words are different. I found out some words that are good to say in Mexico are bad, bad words to say in Ecuador. I learned that behind the pulpit preaching in Ecuador. Don't say that word. And learn different things. But I love the people. And there's a lot of Venezuelan refugees going into Ecuador. And it's a great time to reach the Venezuelans there right now. People need the Lord, though. And if the gospel's not given to them, there is a hell. And like it or not, it does exist. And that's why we give the gospel, so that people can be saved from that and saved from their sins and know the Lord. Now, this morning in Sunday school, I'll talk a little bit about how missions works and how missions changed lives. The gospel changed my life, and I can testify of that. I grew up in a Christian home, in a missionary home. Didn't get to taste anything of the world, but that's okay. Because of knowing the Lord from a young age, I didn't get to try any of that. I got friends who were in the world and got saved later in life, and they are thankful that the gospel reached them because it changed their life. It changed the way they lived, and it gave them a better life. It enhanced their life. And I grew up in ministry, and I'm thankful for it. I'm not bitter at all against ministry or being in church. Since my mother's womb, I went to church every day, and it seemed like. But love church, love the Lord. God's good. And I'm excited to be here this morning. Thank you, Pastor Boatman, for allowing us to come. If you'd go with me to your Bibles in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 13. Familiar passage in the Bible. Romans 10, 13. It says here, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Whosoever. God doesn't limit it to a certain race. God doesn't limit it to a certain people, a certain age group. God says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It doesn't say might be saved. It says shall be saved. You call on the Lord and you will be saved. God wants to save you. But then he says in verse 14, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Let's pray. Father, I ask you to bless your message this morning, your Holy Spirit work amongst us, and through me, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I'd like to preach on missed opportunities. Opportunities that are missed. If you hear about a discount going on at a store, the first thing you want to do is, if it's something you like, you want to get there as soon as possible so you don't miss your opportunity. How many of you guys like good opportunities? If there is a good sale going on at Men's Warehouse, I like to shop at Men's Warehouse. If there's a good sale, if there's a good sale at Cabela's or Bass Pro Shops, then do you know what I'm going to try to do? I'm going to try to make it there first before anybody steals what I want to buy. And number two, I want to make it there before the discounts end. I don't want to miss my opportunity. And so I want to get there in a timely manner so I can get my opportunity to get what I want. But when we miss our opportunity, that's when disappointment sets in, right? I missed my opportunity to get what I wanted. A missed opportunity. And this morning, I'd like to talk about missed opportunities in different ways. If you go with me to Hebrews chapter 11, I'd like to speak on two people this morning. We'll talk about the first person here, Hebrews chapter 11. Missed opportunities. A child can be disappointed if they had an opportunity to get some free candy, and when that free candy runs out, the disappointment, right? They missed their opportunity. And here in Hebrews 11, verse number 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. So Noah, he was warned to build an ark. He condemned the world. What does condemn the world mean? Well, I believe he witnessed to the world. He told them, hey, there's judgment coming, so I'm building an ark, and there's an opportunity to escape that judgment. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, it says, 2 Peter chapter 2, and in verse 5 it says, "And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness." He was a preacher, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah was a righteous preacher that warned of the judgment to come. God was going to judge the world because they had been in sin. And the Bible says that the thoughts of their hearts were continually evil. We live in a day and age where the thoughts of this world, I'm sure we can agree on the fact that it's continually evil. It's easy to walk to a place and just hear cursing and cussing. It's easy to see something on TV by accident that is wrong and wicked in nature. And the Bible says that the thoughts of their heart were continually evil. And God was going to punish. Sin has to be punished. Just like there is a law broken in the city or in the nation, you cross a red light, that law, by breaking the law, there is a punishment. Whether we like it or not, that's all of life. And in the same manner, there's punishment for sin. And that punishment for at this time with Noah was a flood that God was going to bring to destroy the world. But do you know what? God always makes a way of escape. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of kindness. God is a God of grace. God loves everybody and does not want anybody to perish. God doesn't want anybody to suffer. So he makes a way of escape. He built an ark. You know, at first I was thinking about the passage with the ark, and God says he was going to build the ark, and he gave the command to save two animals of each, right? And he said that anybody who could go on, his family, whoever it was going to go on. But the ark was a large ark. And I wonder if God had given him the dimensions of the ark. I don't know what the population was at that time. But maybe God wanted Noah to build the ark big enough so that everyone that lived at that time could at least fit on the ark. Maybe crammed, but at least they would fit on the ark. Because God's concerned about the whole world. I went to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky, and when I got there, I was like, whoa. That's pretty big. If it's life-size, that's a big, big place. But I wonder if God did that because he wanted to save the whole world. So he said, Noah, I want you to build an ark big enough so that everybody could get on. He could have built it just big enough so animals could cram on there and his family and that's it. But I believe God built that ark big enough because he wanted everybody to get on that ark. And it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He preached of the wrath to come. But the people missed their opportunity. A missed opportunity. For over 120 years, Noah built that ark. That's a long time. You know, God gives us time after time and chance after chance. God's not just the God of second chances, but of 100 chances to know him and to get right with him. Because God loves us. And he gives us a chance after chance. And God gave them 120 years to be able to repent and to be able to get on that ark and to be saved. Chance after chance after chance. And how many times maybe God has given you or me or each and every one of us a chance to know him, a chance to repent. God sent a preacher to tell everyone about the gospel, and we don't want to miss that opportunity. But the people missed that opportunity. At the end of those 120 years, God said, all right, Noah, he put the animals on the ark. He put the family on the ark. But then what happened? Did those doors stay open much longer? 7 days later. In fact, 7 days, the Bible says. He told them, get on the ark. And God didn't shut those doors right away. The doors stayed open another 7 days before he shut it. Because I bet God was thinking, okay, I'm going to let more people get on the ark if they want. But you know what happened? Because of the stubbornness of their hearts, because of they were blinded. They missed their opportunity. Those doors shut and the rain started coming down. It was too late to get on the ark. Too late. And you know what makes me think? How many times maybe God has given someone an opportunity to hear the gospel, an opportunity to be saved. God gives someone the opportunity to know how to be saved, to repent of their sins, and to trust in Christ. But one day it'll be too late. One day that door of opportunity will shut. One day the rains will come down. One day that person will be on their deathbed and it'll be too late once they slip into eternity and go to hell. And they'll miss their opportunity to be saved. Miss their opportunity to jump on the boat and know the Lord. When God's not willing that any should perish, God wants everybody to get on the boat. So don't miss your opportunity if there's a preacher that's been presented. You know, I think of the next verse down here. It says in verse 6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot with the filthy conversation, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vest his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. God's a righteous judge. He saves those that believe on him, but there's punishment for those that reject him. Go with me to Genesis chapter 18. Or 19. Genesis chapter 19, verse number 12. Genesis 19:12, the story of Lot, says here in verse 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place. Verse 14, Lot went out and spake unto his son-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, get up out of this place, the Lord will destroy the city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. You know, Lot was concerned about his family. He said, yeah, actually, I do have son-in-laws. I got my daughters. I love my daughters and my sons that married them. I'm going to go tell them. And he said, the Bible says that God gave him an opportunity to go speak to his family members. And Lot went. But what happened? They missed their opportunity. They missed it because they didn't believe, number one. They missed it, number two, because their hearts were blinded and they were wrong and their sin had blinded them. They missed it, number three, because they just didn't want to. They didn't care. But how many times is there someone that has heard the gospel over and over and over? They know how to be saved, but one day they will miss their opportunity. I beg you this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, there is a hell that exists, but God loves you. God does not want anybody to perish, and He gives you an opportunity, chance after chance, to know Him as your personal Savior, and God wants you to be saved. He wants to save you, and He gives you an opportunity, but one day that door will close. Hell has no exit door. It only has an entrance door, and once you're there, there's no exit, but God doesn't want you to go. Don't miss your opportunity, because one day that door will close. Missed opportunities. Yet how many times is there a missed opportunity because we miss our opportunities as saved Christians to give the gospel? Go with me to our last point here, Isaiah chapter 39. I'd like to speak of another example. Missed opportunities. There's two sides to this. There's the missed opportunity of an unsaved person when they hear the gospel. They have the opportunity to be saved, and because they don't believe, because they don't want to be saved, because they're in doubt, or maybe because there's peer pressure, they miss their opportunity to be saved. And how sad that is. God wants everybody to be saved. In Isaiah chapter 39, but yet how many times do we as Christians who are saved miss an opportunity to reach out and witness to those that aren't saved? Another missed opportunity. Isaiah 39, verse number 1, it says, "At that time, Merodach-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah. For he had heard that he had been sick and was recovered. And Hezekiah was glad of them and showed them the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold, and the spices and the precious ointment, and all the house of his armor, and all that was found in his treasures. There was nothing in his house, nor in all his dominion, that Hezekiah showed them nothing." What all did Hezekiah show them? These men didn't know the Lord. They were from Assyria, from Babylon. Merodach-Baladan said, "Hey, I want you to go talk to Hezekiah. See what happened. He was sick, but he was going to die. He recovered. How did he recover? Go talk to them and see what he says." So they came to Hezekiah, and Hezekiah was, boy, was he glad. He was excited to see, well, there are some people that are coming to visit, and the first thing he does is, "Hey, yeah, come, let me show you my house. Look how beautiful it is. Look what I remodeled here. Look what I did here. Oh, this is gorgeous. Come see this place. Come see." And he starts showing them all his stuff. But that's not a bad thing at all. There's things he wanted to show them. But there's one thing he forgot to show them. He got distracted with the stuff and forgot to show them about God. He forgot to tell them, "Look, I was sick, but God healed me. I was going to die, but there was a miracle that happened. Let me tell you about that miracle. God helped me." And Hezekiah missed his opportunity. Later on, Merodach-Baladan and Babylon, they all siege Israel and Judah. Assyria, Babylon, they take over. What if Hezekiah had witnessed to those ambassadors and told them about God? Those messengers went back to Merodach-Baladan. Merodach-Baladan got saved and believed on God. We know Jesus Christ hadn't died yet this time, but he could have believed on Jehovah God. And maybe Babylon would have never besieged Israel or Judah. Maybe, a presupposition, if Hezekiah had only told them about God. But Hezekiah missed his opportunity to witness. He was distracted with the stuff. Our last passage here, if you go with me, 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 32, talking about Hezekiah. So what happened, Hezekiah? "They came and you showed them everything you had." He says there was nothing of his possessions he didn't show them. I mean, he was pulling things out of the closet. "Look at this clothing, look at this." I mean, he was showing everything he had. Excited about it. But he forgot to tell them about God. 2 Chronicles chapter number 32 and in verse number 31, it says here, "Howbeit in the business of the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, who sent unto him to inquire." Why were they sent? They were sent because they were to inquire of the wonder that was done in the land. What wonder? How many of you guys remember what happened? Hezekiah said, Lord, if I'm going to live, then I want a sign. The sign is, I want the sun to, it's an easy thing for the sun to go forward 10 degrees. Time keeps going. but I want it to go back 10 degrees. I want the sun to go back an hour or two. So they watched the sun go back and they thought, wait a second, we just ate lunch and it's brunch again. It's breakfast. What just happened? I mean, that's odd. The sun went back 10 degrees. So I'm sure that's the wonder they were wondering about. Wait, it was lunch? Now the sun went down? We just ate breakfast and we're going back in time? And so I'm sure Baradak Baladan, seeing that, he wanted to inquire of the wonder. He said, go ask Hezekiah what happened. Because their God's a mysterious God. Hezekiah could have said, you know, remember yesterday the sun went back? Let me tell you about the God who made that sun go back. But what happened? God left him to try him that he might know all that was in his heart. You know, a lot of times we miss our opportunities to witness and to tell others about God because what's in our heart is something different than a passion for the Lord, a passion for the lost, a passion to see souls saved. Our heart is set on something else. Our heart is set somewhere else. And we miss our opportunity. We miss an opportunity. And Hezekiah missed his opportunity. Man, how many opportunities have we had with a family member that's not saved? How many opportunities have we had walking by a neighbor we know that's not saved? How many times have we walked by a stranger going through the cashier or something? I miss opportunities every day. And what if I was that opportunity and I got missed? To me, it's a big deal. If I were that person, I wouldn't want to be missed. If I'm an opportunity and I'm on my way to hell, please don't miss your opportunity. Please tell me about Jesus. But we miss our opportunities because our heart is set somewhere else. Go with me our last passage here and we'll finish. Ezra chapter number 3. Noah, he gave his opportunity. He preached. But the people, they missed their opportunity to be saved. Hezekiah, on the other hand, the ambassadors missed their opportunity and it wasn't even their fault. They were searching for the wonder. But Hezekiah missed his opportunity to tell him about the wonder. A missed opportunity. Second Ezra chapter number 3 and in verse number, or sorry, Ezra chapter 2. I keep saying the wrong passage this morning. Ezra chapter 2 and in verse number 61 says here, Ezra 2:61, and the children of the priests, the children of Habiah, the children of Koz, the children of Barzillai, which took a wife of the daughters of Barzillai the Gileadite and was called after their name, these sought their register among those that were reckoned by genealogy. But they were not found. Therefore were they as polluted and put from the priesthood. You know, we see this passage and it would be easy for me to judge these people. To say, well, these people were polluted. They shouldn't have tried to be priests. They shouldn't have tried to seek their registry. These people, they were polluted. They're not priests. Why did they even try? And it'd be easy for me to be critical of them. But you know what? They sought for something that was good. They were trying to enter the priesthood and to do something for God. Part of being a priesthood was a service to God. You were serving God as a priest. And these people, they weren't true priests or Levites, but at least they tried jumping in on the opportunity to do something for God. They were trying to do something. You know, I'm not worthy of being a missionary even. I'm not. In fact, I could put myself in the position of the sons of Barzillai. Honestly, I've done things in my life, and I've been places, and there's things I've never tasted of this world, but it doesn't take away the fact that I'm a sinner. It doesn't take away the fact that I'm a wicked person, and that I needed the Lord Jesus as my Savior. But you know what? Even though I'm unworthy, I want in on this. I want in on the opportunity to serve God. I want in on the opportunity to go to Ecuador as a missionary if that's where God wants me. And even though I don't deserve it, I'm not worthy to be a missionary or serve God, but I want in on the opportunity. If there's an opportunity just like the sons of Barzillai, I want in on it. And God has let me in on it. But you know, every day I pass people. And people need the Lord. And every person is an opportunity. And how many times I wonder, have I missed my opportunity to see someone saved? How many times is there a family member that's right there, ready to get saved? And because of fear of how they would react, I missed my opportunity to give them the gospel. Missed opportunities. But I'd like to ask you this morning, I'll finish. If you're not saved and you don't know Lord Jesus as your Savior, please don't miss the opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't take for granted you'll have this afternoon or even tomorrow. Today, right now, is your opportunity to know Christ as your personal Savior. Please don't miss that opportunity before that door closes. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for forgiveness of sins. And we thank you, Lord, I thank you, the opportunity I had to know you as my personal Savior. The opportunity I had to grow up as a missionary and to be saved. But Lord, I don't want to miss my opportunity in reaching others with the gospel. I pray I wouldn't miss my opportunities. Heads bowed and eyes closed, looking around. I'd like to hand the service to Pastor Boatman.
Thank you. All right, we'll have Sam come on up to the piano and we'll have a little time of invitation here. That's good. I've never seen that in 2 Chronicles. That's interesting about the opportunities. Sam plays a little bit on the piano. Just give you time to reflect on what you heard this morning. And if you're here and you're not saved, which means you've never put your trust in Jesus Christ and said, I'm not righteous. I need the righteousness of God. That's salvation. That is confession. That is letting the Lord know you know you're not going to try to save yourself. And if you'd like to, the altar's open. If you'd like to come down here and pray at the altar, some folks are coming. Altar's open, but this time to reflect. Christian, maybe you spend your life excusing yourself out of opportunities and then trying to convince yourself that they weren't really opportunities to begin with. Maybe it's time to get serious about the opportunities God's given you, what you have in your hand, and what the Lord can do with that, what the Lord can do with your life. If you're here not saved, again, no time like the present to trust Jesus Christ. Get saved. I give you guys a few minutes to think about this as Sam plays. We'll just let you meditate on these things. All right, if you guys are done praying, y'all can look up here. God bless y'all for being here. Brother Chris, Sister Leah, thank y'all. They're going to be here tonight, by the way. They'll be here tonight, and Chris will preach some more and probably maybe do a little more. We may do some question and answer, just to get a little more. If you guys got questions about the things. One thing that is really, I really admire about the way they're doing their missionary work is Brother Chris was able to go down to Ecuador for a year, which is good. It's not going to be just a cold turkey thing, but plus he's also traveled. Plus Leah's traveled all over the world, so this isn't new to either of them. And then also they'll be working for a while anyway with Brother Hoffmeister's nephew, Jonathan Hoffmeister. And so that's, I always think the Lord sent them out two by two, and that may be the best way to do these things. So they're going to go down there and work with them for a little while, and then it just seems like the whole ministry is set up for success. So it's that's good. That's really good. But Chris will be back this evening. Leo will be back this evening and preach for us, and then maybe have some questions and answers. That'll be at 6 o'clock this evening. And so I don't think there's any more movies or anything to watch, so we won't have any more movies. But anyhow, God bless you guys for being here, and let's pray, and we will be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for this time together, and I thank you for the sermon we heard, not only in Sunday school, about missions working, which is absolutely right, but also what we heard this morning about missed opportunities. And I pray we would not spend our lives convincing ourselves and excusing ourselves out of opportunities, and then trying to look back on things and convince ourselves that they weren't really opportunities to begin with, that we would just make use of the opportunities, and whatever we have, whatever is available to us, get the gospel out. And pray you'd help us do that as a church. I pray you'd get Brother Chris, Sister Leah, their support, get them to Ecuador, which is another blessing that Ecuador is so open, and they can already move down there and all that kind of stuff, so they're not closed out of the country. That's a blessing. Thank you for getting them here safely, and thank you for each soul that's here this morning. I pray you bless each soul for being here. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed.